Hey, Sniff listeners, hear about the latest trends in the travel industry with the brand USA Talks Travel Podcast. Right now, listen to special live from IPW interviews featuring U.S. Travel's Jeff Freeman.
DMOs are at the heartbeat of U.S. travel.
Liz Bittner from Travel South.
A lot of key gateway markets are back.
L.A. Tourism's Adam Burke.
We all win when we all partner together.
Plus, brand USA's Stacey Melman and Jackie Innes with international travel trends and Chris Thompson's farewell finale. I'm Mark Flapidus. Join us for brand USA Talks Travel on your favorite podcast platform.
Brand USA Talks Travel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Skift Travel Podcast with Sarah and Seth. I am Seth Borko, the head of Skift Research. I'm joined, as always, by Sarah Copit, our editor-in-chief of Skift. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. And today we've got an amazing topic. It's sleep tourism. So if you've ever heard yourself utter the phrase, I can sleep when I'm dead, I've got bad news for you. You're a little bit out of step with the trends of today. Getting a good 8 to 10 hours is a priority for Gen Zs, and not just for Gen Zs, actually for many generations. So of course, the tourism industry and the travel industry needs to take notice of these emerging trends. Skift's editor-in-chief, Sarah, is on the case. She's reported a new feature story on the rise of sleep tourism. It's called The Science of Sleep, How the Travel Industry is Cashing in on Tourism's Latest Obsession. So let's jump in. Sarah, what is like this growing fascination with sleep amongst Gen Z?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of interesting because the sleep or the hotel and hospitality industry, to a certain extent, have always been about sleep, right? I mean, it's what you do when you go to a hotel. But the most recent kind of emphasis is really on the scientific backing that we now know coming from the medical community, coming from, you know, a lot from the wellness community, also about how to actually help weary travelers and road warriors really get that precious shut eye. It's kind of interesting. There are two kind of distinct wings to this movement. The first is really around jet lag. So yeah. People who are flying across time zones, you know, it's like the granddaddy of all travel related sleep woes is when you're crossing time zones and you have, you know, a big meeting on Wednesday, you've left your house, I don't know, Sunday, you're somewhere in time and space getting to your destination and you get off the plane and you're just all upside down and miserable and nauseous and tired. And then you can't even get to sleep when you try, right? So I'm sure I'm explaining or describing a very familiar set of events to many people here who travel for business.
Awake on the plane for 10 hours, you finally make it to your hotel room, and then you're wide awake as soon as you hit the floor, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And for me personally, I'm not one of those people. Like, I have a really good friend who, like Taylor Swift, is like, you know, jet lag is a choice. I wish that was me. That is not me. Like, it's kind of devastating to my body. And of course, it just gets worse, like everything else, as you get older. So jet lag is a big problem in my life. You know, we work for a travel publication, like we're constantly flying all over the place, which is great. But, you know, you want to be like coherent to enjoy all of it. So there's that. So, and there's tons of emerging science about circadian rhythms and how important they are and how to kind of trick them, so to speak, mm-hmm. to prepare you for your trip. So that's like one wing of this kind of new movement. And the other one really is it's this kind of, it's very attached to the wellness movement. It's using science once you get to the hotel to, you know, so you can go to sleep when you want to. So you're optimizing your hotel room and your entire experience to really focus on one thing very specifically, and that is getting to sleep so you're rested and refreshed. And I had kind of a fun, not kind of fun, very fun experience at Equinox Hotels here in New York City, where I tested out all of their various sleep-related scientific bells and whistles, and it was great.
Well, stick around. We're going to get around to that later in the podcast, hearing all about the wellness experience at the Equinox. So we've got these two pieces of sleep tourism then. I guess we've maybe got this more scientific road warrior side of it, all about the jet lag. And then we've got this evolution of the wellness movement about refreshing yourself. How do the Gen Zs, how do the youths of today fit into this trend? Like, are they on both sides, or are they more on the wellness side? Or?
Well, they seem to be. They seem to be on anything that relates to getting good sleep. They're here for it. And I kind of love that. You know, I mean, I'm old enough where I've been through many iterations of, you know, culture. And I think earlier in my career, it was very much the hustle culture, you know, for me, girl boss type, you know, you go, go, go all the time. You work all the time. If you're busy, that's great. You're important. All of that kind of ethos, you know,
it's almost a status symbol. It's almost a status symbol. Having that BlackBerry and being available 24/7 is sort of a weird sort of brag, right?
I'm not old enough for the BlackBerry, Seth.
I was using a BlackBerry at my first job.
I know. BlackBerry's one. I really never did. Yeah.
That is a fascinating side subject rabbit hole that we could go down. Yeah. I don't know if it's for today.
Okay, another podcast.
The BlackBerry is long dead, but we have TikTok now. We have TikTok now. That's what's replaced it. And what I liked is you had this, you actually linked to this clip in your article, this TikTok wellness influencer talking about sleep tourism. So let's have a listen.
Come with me to adult sleep camp and let's celebrate World Sleep Day. I braved the rain and made my way to beautiful downtown Los Angeles, where I was hosted at my only hotel of choice downtown for a day of rest and relaxation. Hotel Figueroa revamped its rest and recovery suite with a slew of new partners to give travelers the sleep tourism experience. There's only one self-care suite in the entire hotel, and for $500 a night, you get a customizable take-home pillow from Pluto, along with in-suite workout apps, light therapy, and sips and supplements designed to get you to relax. And here's a little overview of the room. As you can see, very minimal, very soft lighting, very calming, beautiful. And here's the sleep doctor who guided us through any questions we had about sleep. And we have scalp expert Lori, who also guided us through a scalp meditation yoga sort of thing. At the end, we were treated to a wonderful dinner. So delicious. What a beautiful day in the rain. Get some sleep, everyone. You deserve it.
So I feel relaxed already. Just listening to that TikTok, the dreamy music, the sleep doctor. I think that's an interesting point where she says, then you deserve it. That really is about how I think it's becoming a part of the culture. I mean, we don't know if this is a paid influence or not, but how, you know, these hotels that offer these sort of experiences, she calls it her hotel of choice, right? Because it has that rest and relaxation element.
So, you know, it's really kind of typifies what many, many hotels are really leaning into. So a lot of it is marketing, you know, but it's what the hotel is there for anyway, right? Is so you can sleep. So those are some kind of small things that hotels are doing, like the lighting and the sleep induced meals and drinks and all of that kind of stuff. But then there's the Equinox and what they are doing, which is on a whole nother level.
And Equinox certainly is a big elephant in the room of sleep tourism and wellness tourism. They're doing a lot in that space. And we're going to get more into Sarah's firsthand experience with the Equinox Hotels right after this message from our sponsors.
Hey, Stiff listeners, hear about the latest trends in the travel industry with the Brand USA Talks Travel Podcast. Right now, listen to special live from IBW interviews featuring U.S. Travel's Jeff Freeman.
DMOs are at the heartbeat of U.S. travel.
Liz Bittner from Travel South.
A lot of key gateway markets are back.
L.A. Tourism's Adam Burke.
We all win when we all partner together.
Plus, Brand USA's Stacey Melman and Jackie Innes with international travel trends and Chris Thompson's farewell finale. I'm Mark Lapidus. Join us for Brand USA Talks Travel on your favorite podcast platform.
Brand USA Talks Travel.
Welcome back to the Skift Travel Podcast with Sarah and Seth. We are in the middle of a conversation about sleep tourism. We've been talking about how it is an emerging trend, an emerging priority, both for Gen Z travelers, but also for many generations. And we want to get into some of the actual economics of the sleep tourism industry today and what it looks like. So maybe, Sarah, let's just kick off this section of the conversation. What do you see as the definition of sleep tourism?
So sleep tourism to me is going on a trip or going on a vacation purely for the purpose of rest and relaxation. So, you know, this isn't a new phenomenon. This is something that travelers have been doing for a while. But I think the difference is now is that in addition to a lot of the, you know, activities or maybe like going out and just, you know, really kind of experiencing anything and everything that you can in a location, these trips are purely to kind of rest, reflect, connect, you know, kind of like the spa days of old, but really focused on sleep and getting to sleep and enjoying that sleep. So, you know, we've got, there's all sorts of things that hotels are doing. A lot of them have to do with light, which I talked to Timeshifter CEO and their scientific findings around circadian rhythms, which are fascinating, really. Kind of a lot more complex and different than I was expecting. And then there's all sorts of spa and other sorts of treatments that hotels are offering specifically to help get good sleep.
And so, I mean, have you found in your reporting a size for how big this potential market is, how many people are participating in it?
So it's massive. I mean, you have to kind of think about where the boundaries are around what is, you know, regular kind of sleep at a hotel and what is sleep tourism. But the numbers that I've seen from researchers who are looking at this are something like $400 billion increase over the next 5 years. So that's pretty big.
Yeah. And I think we worked with you a little bit. On the Skift research side, we did a survey of our American Travel Tracker survey. It's about 800 Americans we surveyed. And I think 40% of them told us that they had booked some sort of sleep improvement activities, like some sort of rest or relaxation or sleep experience. So 40% of American travelers participated in some way, shape, or form in this form of rest or relaxation tourism. You're right. It's hard to delineate between people.
Yeah, it's a big, huge market. Yeah, it's a big number. And it just kind of shows that humans globally are really looking to improve this part of their lives. There's all sorts of studies, which of course surprised me none, about how, you know, women, especially under 50, are sleep deprived. They think their life would be better if they could sleep more. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. You know, I actually think I know why this has happened in these last few years. And I really think it was the pandemic. I think that especially like to have this sort of global trend, like there are very few events that happen in the world. I mean, the pandemic was so unique. I'm sure scientists and historians will look back at this time with great interest because it was like a perfect, you know, test sample of being able to say like what happens to the whole world when you from one day to the next change everything about how they're going to go about living their lives. And I think about it personally, you know, I worked for Bloomberg News for 15 years. That is because that's a financial and markets related industry. I was at work by 6 a.m. every day. I have little kids. I think when the pandemic hit, I always kind of knew that I was sleep deprived, but I just didn't realize how sleep deprived I was and how much of a difference that made for me, until the pandemic, when we were all kind of forced to stay home, not do anything, not go to work, and sleep a lot, you know?
I think there's two pieces to it that are interesting to me. I think one is just a straight reprioritization of people saying, like, you know, like, life is short, so to speak, right? Like, they want to prioritize themselves, prioritize their wellness, prioritize their health. I think that was a big shift. And I think that people, you know, memories are somewhat short, but that I think is a long-term thing. I think one of the things that's interesting, you know, I love to cite numbers, right? We had this survey question, maintaining my sleep routine is a priority for me even while on vacation. And almost 77% of travelers agreed with that. And so I think part of it too is developing new routines and habits during the pandemic, because you've got the time to get into a sleep routine, and then saying, I actually am really happy with some of the results that my routine got me. And I'm not going to let, I want to travel, but I'm not going to let that disrupt my habits and my routines. I think that might be a part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. We all kind of found out what it might be like to get some good sleep during that time. And we're unwilling to let it go, you know, when everything kind of lifted. So I think that that has kind of a really big reason why, you know, in the Gen Z age group, you know, they kind of came of age during this period, right?
This and so formative for them.
Formative for them. So, you know, they don't remember hustle culture. it was never a part of their lives. And they're like, I'm gonna sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. Like, why wouldn't I? Like, why would you ever not want to do that? And so for the rest of us who are kind of like scratching our heads, like, oh, okay, perhaps I should try this, and maybe I need a little help getting there, you know?
Well,
so that's what these hotels are serving.
You did try it though, didn't you?
I did.
You took it for a bit of a test drive at the Equinox Hotel. So let's talk about that a little bit. So what was that stay experience like for you?
So it all kind of started at our Megatrends event, which, you know, both of us were at in New York in January. And I interviewed Chris Norton, who is the CEO of Equinox Hotels. And at the time, you know, I kind of gave him a little bit of a hard time on stage, because I was like, I don't know if I want to like go to a hotel and have somebody stick an IV in my arm. I think we have a clip of that, which we can take a listen to now.
Let's play it.
I've read and I've seen some pictures about how you offer IV therapy. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. I've never done it. I think I would feel strange about having somebody put an IV in my arm at a hotel. But tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because we had this discussion when we talked last week.
We did.
And you
convinced
me. You thought it was the room service waiter who's going to do it.
I wasn't sure. I don't know.
No, these are registered nurses that these are part of a medical company that's actually a third-party company we work with.
Okay.
It's incredibly popular.
Yeah.
And you could argue, you know, but there's people that are huge believers and enjoy the benefits of it. It's in our spa. So in combination with a massage or a facial or, you know, people go in, we have these pods overlooking the trains that come in from Long Island, that, you know, in Hudson Yards.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there and actually some people, you know, have a glass of champagne with it.
So you were nervous about it. What was the result? What was it really like? We can hear, we have a hard-nosed journalist here to tell us the truth about IV therapy at the Equinox Hotel.
So when Chris and I got off stage, he made me promise that before I passed judgment on, you know, the IV therapy, that I would come over to the hotel and try it out. And so I did. And but it wasn't just the IV. So I stayed overnight. I did a whole little like unscientific sleep study. I pulled a Fitbit out of the back of the closet, tried it out. And I measured my sleep for the week before I went to the Equinox. I went to the Equinox Friday night, did it all. My Fitbit gave me a rating of only fair sleep Monday through Thursday. And so I kind of wanted to see, this of course is incredibly unscientific. It was just kind of a fun exercise for me. So that's about right for me.
I trust the Fitbit with my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair sleep, that's it.
Super cool. So I had fair sleep that week. That seemed accurate. And so on Friday morning, went to the hotel. Chris and I had breakfast, and then I went to the spa. And not only did I get the sleep IV, I did an infrared sauna, all sorts of things that they have there in order to bolster your sleep. The infrared sauna was intense. I almost fainted afterwards. They give you an electrolyte drink. Like all of a sudden I started seeing like a bit of tunnel. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I was like, whoa,
I struggle in a normal sauna. If I'm in a sauna for like 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I'm woozy, but this sounds like a overdrive.
Yeah. And so after that, I actually did the IV. And it was the sleep IV. So, you know, I mean, of course, what Chris said is accurate. I mean, their spa is just to die for. And, you know, there's registered nurses and I didn't have the champagne. I should have. I didn't.
To me, that's the critical piece of the sleep component.
I know,
right?
Yeah. Like I should have listened to that clip before I went and knew that the champagne was available. I didn't know. Yeah. Or I'd forgotten. So you look out over the Hudson, it's very beautiful. What was the verdict?
What was the verdict on your sleep? So you had a fair sleep before and then with all the tools?
Yep. Yep. And so but they have more, Seth. So they sent up, you know, these little like accoutrements that they have to the room. They have they have their own proprietary sleep masks. They have like a charcoal infused bedtime drink. They have all this stuff. It's so good. And you know what my favorite part is in the room? Like we're talking about our various ages to date. I'm going to date myself here. I'm one of those people, when you go to a hotel, I cannot figure out how to turn all the lights off. Like, I cannot do it. Like, there's usually a light underneath the bed, the side table that I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to have to call down to the front desk because I can't get this light off. So that's me. So I think that I am not the only one. I actually read something, I think it was in the New York Times last week, that a whole article about the frustration with trying to figure out how to turn the lights off in hotels these days.
I had to call the front desk. It was the most embarrassing phone call I made. When we were in India, I had to call the front desk and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I just can't get the lights off. Can you send someone up to help me do it?
Yes. And so Equinox knows that that the struggle is real. And so they have next to the bed, they have like a single panel. Like not only does it turn the lights off, but it lowers all of the blackout blinds and resets the temperature to 66 degrees, which their sleep scientists have told them is the optimum temperature for sleep. It needs to be a little bit colder than most people think it does to have good sleep. So like these are the kind of things that this hotel is really thinking about when it's trying to promote sleep. So here's the punchline. You know,
drum roll.
Fitbit told me I got an 82 good sleep that night. The only day of the week that I did get good sleep. Yep. So
it's told scientifically Chris, proven. I was like, it works.
Yeah, very unscientifically proven. I thought my husband came for dinner with me. We went to dinner there, and I had one martini, and I thought that was really going to screw me up, but. Probably did a little bit. So like usually it has the opposite effect. Like I said, this was an unscientific study. We were there to have the full experience. But
it does
anyway,
sound like
it was great.
Wonderful, scientific or not, it sounds like a wonderful study is what I'll tell you. It sounds like it was a wonderful test.
Yeah. We all have to suffer for our jobs sometimes. Yes. And, you know.
We thank you for suffering on our behalf to go out and get the story, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we were staying in India, they had a hotel, they had a pillow menu at some of the hotels that we stayed at where I could select from my choice of various, levels of pillows. And I've seen a lot of these advanced relaxation kits at a lot of hotels. Often I'm afraid to touch them. I'm afraid I'm going to get charged like $50 for...
You probably will. Speaking of India... There was another thing that I looked at for this piece. And that's the dreaded jet lag. So I also downloaded Time Shifter before our, like, for any of you that follow Skift, you know, Seth and I were on a kind of a bit of a tear starting in December, ending in, I don't know when, just constantly from here in New York to Dubai, to London, to Morocco, to India. So I downloaded Time Shifter. So this is an app that they are very into the circadian science, that of the circadian rhythms of your body that can help with jet lag. So they are not so much in the wellness camp at all. They are in the pure play jet lag camp. And it was amazing. They also, like I said, I downloaded it and I used it and it worked for me too, which, you know, I was talking to the CEO of Time Shifter and I was like, it's amazing. It worked. And he just said, I don't know. He wasn't that surprised because, you know, the science is the science, right? Like, it does just simply work. The thing that
I was talking to some colleagues and their advice was just, look, as long as you can stay up till 5 p.m. and then go to bed, that's it. But I guess that's old fashioned. That's way too simplistic of just stay up till 5 p.m.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, for me anyway, I think for a lot of people, yeah, I try to do that, but then I'm exhausted. Like mentally and physically exhausted. Like my eyes hurt. Like the back of my eyes hurt. I'm so tired, but I can't go to sleep. And there's not just one circadian rhythm in your body. Okay. There are, you know, 10, 20 different. It's why different circadian clocks that you kind of have to trick in order to get them all on the same to sync up. And what Time Shifter CEO told me was that the biggest factor in whether you're able to overcome jet lag, it's not exercise, it's not food, it's not like kind of some of the other things that maybe we might have heard. It's light. So on the Time Shifter app, it starts a couple of days before you're going. Like if you're going to Europe or the Middle East or Asia on like one of these big long overnight long haul trips, you kind of start adjusting your sleep going to bed. If you're traveling east, you're going to bed a little bit earlier, waking up earlier, and then it gives you prompts about when to go and stand out in the sun and when to shield your eyes from any light, like for 15 minutes, you know. And it's what it's doing is it's, you know, tricking your like melatonin systems and all of the kind of circadian clocks in your body to try to shift your body clock to that different time. You have to start a few days before. So, and it's like, go and stand out in the sun for 15 minutes, you know, and they also talk about using melatonin and using caffeine if that's something you're into. So it was not only fascinating, but that worked for me too. So I guess now all I have to do is use Time Shifter, fly to Asia, where, you know, maybe someday there'll be an Equinox hotel and get an IV and I'll be good to go.
And that's all it takes.
You know, that'll be perfect.
It's simple.
That's all it takes. Very simple. Exactly.
Well, I think from all levels of in between, so it really does cover the spectrum, right? Like you've got these hotels. Obviously, hotels are, they say for years, they say it's all about heads in beds, but it's specifically now about how that head gets in that bed and sleeps in that bed. We've got the apps. We've got the airlines coming into play as well. I think they're doing all sorts of stuff with Biden. So it really is a full sleep tourism.
A full court press.
Ecosystem. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, and another thing that was interesting, this is actually the seed of the story, why I started writing it. I was talking to the tourism folks at Tourism Australia, and I spoke at one of their... Yes, that's what they said. They said, you know, they were talking about how, you know, it's hard to get people from maybe the U.S. to come over because it's so far away. You know, it's expensive. These are big trips. And I, you know, I started talking about jet lag and they're like, you know, but that's probably one of the biggest things is that when people come over, they have to stay for such a long time because the jet lag is so intense. And if they could figure out a way
Yeah, that's a fascinating point, because I'm planning a trip to Japan and we're literally baking in a jet lag day. But I mean, that would be an interesting study.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if I didn't have to bake in 1 to 3 jet lag days, how many more activities could I go to? How many more restaurants could I go to? How much more could I spend in destination?
Say, how much more money can you part with? Yeah.
That's a fascinating angle there, that if you're one of these, if you're in a long haul tourism market, this is not just a wellness or even a luxury. It could even be a straight dollar, like a ROI. Yeah. There could be a real return on investment from jet lag.
Maybe we should do some more tests.
Maybe we should do some more tests. Fly to Asia a couple more times. Well, we'll do those. We'll do those tests. You know, we'll put ourselves up as the four subjects for all the sleep tourism. And if you've got any sleep tourism things you need to test us, let us know. We'll report on it in Skift in future stories. As always, I'm Seth Borko, sb@skift.com. I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm Sarah Copen at sek@skift.com.
Sarah's article is live now on Where Else? Skift.com. You know where to find it. I hope you'll read it and enjoy it and let us know if you have any questions. Thank you for listening. And please tune in next week where we'll be talking about Google Hotels, one of the biggest players in the travel industry. See you then.